Hello, and welcome to the Keyboard Warrior Gamers podcast.
I look at you and you laugh. I don't get it.
Shut up and talk about Star Wars.
My name is Dustin Morabito.
Wow, incredible.
Joining me today to talk about Star Wars, I guess, and other things, I suppose. Lorraine Morabito is here in the room, in my presence.
It's true. I'm here, physically.
Kyle McGrath is joining us from the internet.
Wow.
I am here to talk about Star Wars, a sentence in 2020.
Uh-huh.
Philip McGrath is here from the internet.
Hello.
Internet's darling.
I am not especially qualified to talk about Star Wars.
We were at Star Wars earlier this very calendar year.
Sorry, we went to Star Wars.
In the before
like,
times.
Who could be more qualified?
We drank the blue and green milk. We drank the milks. We got the moof juice.
And finally, Brian Taylor is joining us to talk about things and or eat food.
Not qualified for anything.
Yay. I love it.
What about eating food?
No. He didn't pass his entry exam, so he's got to wait a whole another year before he can reapply.
Just one more season.
Ugh. One more unending season.
Theoretically, or
winter
like...
Winter starts soon. Winter's this week.
Oh, I guess so.
Yeah.
Christmas is next week, which, like, I guess that...
Whatever.
Sure, that's a thing
winter
in 2020.
Winter is more exciting. Let's get the snow back. Let's go. Come on.
I mean, I'm looking forward to the... I'll say I'm looking forward to the arbitrary, won't change a thing ending of this calendar year. Like,
you want to add that one?
It is utterly meaningless in almost every way, but my human brain is like, that number will be different. That means something to me for some reason.
I thought you were going to say the arbitrary continuing to stay inside forever.
Oh, that's not arbitrary. It's just shitty.
That's also on its way out.
I hope
maybe,
so.
You know,
that's,
maybe.
Yeah, we'll find out. I mean, it will be someday. Like, I don't know if that'll be
it's just all
2 months
mole
from now
people.
Or 10 months from now.
Let's be mole people.
Or we'll get the mutated version that's in the UK right now.
Oh,
right.
Man, I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I said it the other night. We're going COVID 2021. Or going COVID 21. We're skipping 20. We're just going to 21.
I mean,
and
it would be 20 at this point.
No, it's based on the year.
Well, he's saying the other one.
I guess that's true. Yeah, if it's already there.
If the one in the UK is the new one, then that's COVID-20.
It's got a new hat.
I think it's more like COVID-19B.
Okay. The B-side. I don't know how viruses are named. Or plagues.
Stay inside forever.
Put your pre-orders down.
You get to name it.
Buy the COVID-20 playset. It's got the Slave One in it. And lightsabers.
Oh my god, don't even get me started on the Slave One.
Anyway, let's get into it and work backwards from there.
Grandalorian happened.
However, right, there's been a whole nother season of Star Wars television content.
8 episodes.
8 whole episodes, so anyone who's got...
hours of my year.
That's very upsetting.
Who's got a hot take, let's have it. I'm gonna leave the floor open to other people before I, like, piss all over everyone.
Everyone's Boba Fett
great.
Is fucking stupid. I am so mad
Lorraine,
that they exhumed him.
I said,
like,
let's wait before we
no,
do so.
No, you said hot takes.
All right, that's
I've
fine.
Got a hot take.
I think it was fine.
I was really happy
that's
when
I'm,
they showed the
Kyle.
Armor
fine.
And it turned out to be some random dude because fuck it. Who cares? And then he shows up and they're like, oh, it's Boba Fett. Oh my God.
Going into this show and they said, we're going to have a show, The Mandalorian. I'm thinking, oh, great. Here it's the Boba Fett. Variety hours, like, I was not excited at all. And they eased into it, and he was at best a side character in the season, so
I'm still mad he was there.
Here's my thing on it. I would be mad about him being in it if, like, he had a bunch of character build up and a story arc conclusion in any other content. He didn't.
I guess.
So,
still
the
mad.
Fact that they brought him back doesn't feel as hollow because his character never really wrapped up or went anywhere to begin with. So
also
I'll
his ship is stupid. His ship is so stupid. Why does it turn that way? Why is it vertical? What the fuck?
He's hiding on.
His ship is stupid.
So you didn't appreciate the scene when they're sitting in the cargo hold or whatever and the whole thing rotates around it?
Well, it made more sense than them being like astronaut vertical and then turning like in space or whatever. Like how they launch fucking space shuttles. I'm mad.
Well, let's backtrack a little
Never.
Bit, because that's like like mid to like that goes
care.
From the middle
you
of the season to the end of the season.
I can barely remember what happened beforehand.
Like, I'm fine. You're right.
That's
exactly what I requested. But like, I think my feelings are like similar to yours, Lorraine, but like way more complicated.
Okay.
And that
tell me more about your complicated feelings, Star Wars boy.
So like on the initial like when it's like that is it the first or second episode where he
anymore.
Goes to Tatooine and then he meets
I
whatever
think that was the first episode
the other guy the gunslinger yeah, dude the
Cade
Cobb Vanth
Cade
sure
he's just wearing the armor but he's just some guy who found it in the desert.
I thought it was hysterical that it wasn't him. He's some schmo. I'm like great.
I kind of dug that in the way that I dug the like the framing around let's say like The Force Awakens before like it just becomes Star Wars where there's like where you get those introductory scenes with Rey and she's just kind of living in the remnants of a universe that existed before her, like of just shit that has happened before and this is just like the garbage that's like strewn about after this big conflict or whatever. Like in that context I was like yeah, that's good, I like that, that's like an you know like an Easter eggy thing that's also not like that like that like he didn't that dude didn't show up and like do you know who this armor belonged to a legendary bounty hunter of like it's just a thing that was there that like you know he picked it up out of the desert because it was useful because he's living on a shithole.
No, he got it from the Jawas, he was saved by them or whatever and he's just like give me that and they're like okay or whatever they say. Jawas? I think they were Jawas.
But like, I just kind of liked that. Like, I would have appreciated if they could have left it at that because it's just such a like subtle un Star Warsy thing to do, lie.
That's why I liked it.
And then like that episode ends.
That they
with
let
the...
it lie for I don't know, four episodes.
Well, that episode ends with the stinger that like I wasn't even.
Oh yeah, he watches them fly away.
Yeah, I didn't even put that together until I read like I watched the episode and then read like other people's like. Like reviews or you know synopsis or whatever. Like, oh yeah, that's Boba Fett. I was like, yeah, I guess, sure.
That episode also proved that everything is Dune, and I'm mad
because of the worm.
They do spend an inordinate amount of time on Tatooine,
and there's a giant fucking sandworm because there always is a giant. I don't
know. Knights of the Old Republic. I was gonna say Dune didn't invent sandworms, it just
popularized them. It normalized sandworms. I have feelings about Dune that I've expressed before and I won't.
Yeah, we'll have that podcast in a year or whatever.
That's right, we can watch the movie
and
then go from there. But yeah, and then so as the series like as it goes on and there's more Boba Fett stuff in it, I'm like right in the middle. Like I'm like, you know, this is like it's not what I would choose to do with this, but like I don't quite hate it yet. Like it's fine. Like he's cracking skulls and that's neat. Like I'd be perfectly fine if it was some other character cracking skulls, but like just watching somebody brutalize like watching that Robert Rodriguez episode where he's just like smashing stormtrooper helmets with that staff, and I'm like, yeah, okay,
cool.
I can be down with this.
This overweight old man just cracking stormtroopers to death.
And then right when we get to like the actual end of the finale episode, where there's like the post credit stinger, like that's where it lost me completely. Where I was just like, it solidified the opinion I think I'd been building myself personally up to as the series go on. We'll bat this back and forth, but ultimately I was like, oh, this is just like you guys have made like the world's most CG laden, most expensive like QVC special. Like you have not made a narrative for me to engage with. You have made a product to sell me additional products. As soon as that happened, where it's like, not only did they show him on screen hanging out in Jabba's palace or whatever, and then they literally just cut to text that like, here's a thing for you to consume, right. You fucking idiot. I was like, Jesus Christ, you guys, like, come on.
Brought to you by Raid Shadow Legends.
Yeah, 100%. Like, that's exactly how that felt to me. I was like, God damn. Just, like, even pretend that you're making, like, fiction, like, not just, like, another thing to be, for me to buy, like, toys of. Like, God.
That's
the point where it lost me completely. I was like, okay, whatever. Like, I just rolled my eyes at it, basically.
Every time someone called him Boba, I
died. The Boba Fett show, like, it's not even clear if that is season 3 of Mandalorian.
Right, yeah, like, and I couldn't tell you, and that's the most damning part about it, is, like, there were like we were in this narrative with a character, or you know, a handful of characters. Mm-hmm. There's him and Grogu. Is that the Baby Yoda's real name? Yeah.
Grubhub.
And like a handful of other like supporting characters that like.
I love the Girl Squad.
Yeah, we were in a narrative with those people for a while, and now it's not even clear if any of them matter.
Yeah.
And that's terrible. That sucks.
I think they really overtly left the cliffhanger about the Darksaber that will absolutely be in the next Mandalorian story.
Like, I sure hope so.
I don't think there's any ambiguity about it. Uh-huh. They went really far out of their way to say that this is not resolved and that this is a thing that matters.
I think that what's going to happen is if the Boba Fett is Mandalorian Season 3, then that will tie directly into the arcs of the characters that are established.
I would hope so.
Sure. Otherwise, it'll be its own thing on its own.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at, like, now that we can loop back to some stuff that's positive, that, like, here's, like, if I were to do my armchair rewrite of the season or whatever. Like, that's the stuff that I liked that I wish they would have just, like, I wish they could just stop fucking... I wish they could pull themselves back from, like, getting everyone's old action figures out of the fucking bin and playing with those over and over again. Because if it had not been Boba Fett and had instead been just like a longer, more protracted introduction to the, like those other Mandalorian characters, mm-hmm. like what's her name, the main one,
Bo-Katan.
Yeah, 100%. Okay. If those were the people who like supported him more of the mm-hmm. way through, instead of like you get that first little introduction when they're on the water planet or whatever,
I like them.
They're gone, and then they basically come back for the finale.
Yeah.
If they had just like either stayed with him or like. Continue to show back up, like, if instead of Boba Fett just showing up out of nowhere and being like, I'm a character that you, the audience, knows who I am.
There's definitely that aspect of, we know if we put Boba Fett in there, you know, our stock price will go up a quarter of a point.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's, like, the best thing about the show, and I'm assuming, I still haven't watched it, but I'm still, like, I still may watch it someday. Like, the best stuff about Clone Wars and stuff like that is, like, I just want... If you're gonna bother to make Star Wars stuff, I just want you to make stuff. Like, you are in a universe with infinite possibilities. Give us new characters. Make more shit up.
No, it's like, just it's three characters.
Kyle, is it accurate that that most of that lore of like what Mandalorians are and like the planet of Mandalore does that stuff mostly come from that Clone Wars series?
Yeah, like it's all over Clone Wars and. Even the sequel series that add Rebels.
Okay, because that's what I like that stuff because it's additive. Because like Phil said, Boba Fett was a blank slate in the original movies. He's just a cool looking costume with, and there's nothing else to him whatsoever.
Cool costume design.
but yeah, like if you're gonna touch on that stuff, like make up some new shit. Like give me like stretch.
Add
like,
a new
broaden
sphere
it.
To the Venn diagram. Don't make all the existing ones bigger.
And here's where I can come at this differently because I have seen all of Clone Wars. Like, Boba Fett is in that as, like, child Boba Fett who's traumatized that his father died.
Okay.
And you see sort of his growth going through the Clone Wars as just a really pissed off young child who wants to kill Jedi. And then you can sort of compare that to
Anakin.
Where he is now in that show. And even has a little, I don't say a mini arc, but, like, he's very willing to help the Mandalorian Din do whatever his thing is. And then kind of you can swing back a little bit as well. I'm still going to be a bad guy and shoot Bib Fortuna and sit on Jabba's throne. Like, there is an arc for him. And I realize that to even appreciate that, you have to have seen this animated show from 8 years ago. But
sure.
Like, but there is something to that.
Yeah. But on that note, like, that's both, like, it's cool that that stuff's in with. And there, like, it gives me more respect for. Like Clone Wars in theory, and it makes me more bummed out about where they left him. Even discounting the like what a sales pitch it is at the end of that little stinger. Mm. Like the fact that he is at like if the thing he like they showed him doing was more in line with the stuff that they set up in that series. Like I feel like that could another thread you can pull on. Like the place that they left him in Jabba's palace to me it just strikes as more. Just, like, nodding to the old movies and shit.
Right.
Like, because he doesn't really, like, he was a freelance bounty hunter.
Yeah.
That, like, happened to have his last moments at Jabba's
Palace.
It was
an accident.
Gets, like
Space
cartoon,
Ocean
like,
wasn't, like...
Right, like, cartoon trombone, like, knocked into the Sarlacc pit or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, like, he doesn't really have, like, an emotional tie to Jabba's Palace.
No.
Like, it's just the last place we saw him as people who watched Star Wars.
We got to see Bib Fortuna really let himself go.
I guess the
he grew fat from
the requirement to taking over the like the Hutt crime syndicate is not to be a Hutt, it is just to get really fat.
Come with the title.
But yeah, that whole thing is like I said, the combination of how lazy that part of that felt combined with like a literal like title card that's like, hey, more chances for revenue.
Yeah.
I really like Boba Fett's inclusion in this series because it sort of built in the entire theme of the show up to this point of like, what even is a Mandalorian? Because we start off just kind of getting the narrow scope of Din's version of being a Mandalorian where you live underground and never take your helmet off.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes to the show, he meets other Mandalorians from other sects.
Yeah, and I did like that.
Yeah, I like that interaction a lot.
And I think Boba Fett plays well into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Because to a lot of people, I think you don't really know a lot about them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You see Boba Fett and you're like, oh, he's the Mandalorian, right?
And in reality, he might not even, depending on who you ask, he's not a Mandalorian at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I really liked when they got to that water planet and he meets the other Mandalorians and they take their helmet off and you can just see, like, you can't see it because he's got his helmet on, but just the panic in his eyes when they take theirs off and he's just like, what are you doing? And they're like, oh, you're one of those.
And right, again, they broaden out the whole thing a little bit. Like, yeah, I dig that, like, where he's basically, like, raised from, like, a fundamentalist sect of, like, that's cool.
That's it, exactly.
Armor-thumping Mandalorians.
Yeah,
they're called the Death Watch.
Okay.
I see it as a callback to the Tatooine scene, too.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm. Because he does the same thing.
Yeah. Do they ever say his name in the show?
Din Djarin, or are we talking about something
else?
Yeah.
When?
The guy.
I think the first time he was named is when Moff Gideon comes down to the canteen or whatever, and just names them all off. It's like, I know exactly who all of you are.
Right. Okay. I know everything. Assume I know everything.
Yeah, right.
Okay, because I'd seen him referenced as Din online, and I'm like, is that who he is?
I don't know if he's named any time other than that.
Okay.
Didn't they say his name is, like, part of one of the flashbacks when he was a
maybe.
Kid?
Man, I don't remember.
Yeah, I haven't watched season one since it was contemporary,
the first
so I could totally
season
believe that
one,
that's true.
As opposed to watching it as it came out, so I think a lot of that bled together for me.
Uh-huh.
Like, specifics. I remember the wider swaths. That was also, like, last year, whenever that was. Mm-hmm. 1,000 years ago.
But yeah, that's 100% where I would, like, like, I feel like I would have come off of the season universally positive if they just really, really leaned into that stuff of, like, give me more Mandalorian stuff. Give me, like, these characters are not characters that have, you know, either been done to death in, like, movies
there's
and
no
books.
Baggage.
And, like,
there's nothing.
Well, there's less baggage. Like, there's just more room to do whatever you want to do with them. Like there's just more space to make stuff up.
To get into the other thing, I thought this was going to be the thing you had against the Luke Skywalker scene at the end of the... Because I and a lot of people appreciate it for not being, you know, just some crap pulled directly from the movies. And we're exploring their own dark corners of the universe that no one's ever been to. Mm-hmm. And to have it lead into Luke Skywalker killing robots in an alley is kind of...
Yeah.
No, it's like, it was a really cool scene, but it sort of kind of goes against what the Mandalorian was to start with.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't know. That was disappointing for me in, like, a very expected way. Like I said, I think the reason the Boba Fett thing feels false to me is because it literally, like I said, it takes
that advertisement for a show on at the end.
Yeah, and it takes the focus off of the character that we have focused on and onto this
because I
like
this
new guy.
I like him.
It really felt like they really sucked the wind out of the Mandalorian's, like, penultimate moment where he's like says goodbye to Grogu and like that was one of the best moments in the season for me when he took his helmet off. He passes him off,
right,
and then they like it just really felt like they didn't let that sit.
I mean, I'm just treating that post-credit scene as a literal advertisement.
Like, sure,
it's so jarring, though.
It doesn't inform how I view the series in any way. To me, it's just a totally separate, stupid little thing at the end.
Like, sure,
series. If you get Hondo and Naka into the Boba Fett series, I'm in. I'll watch them all.
All right, that's fair. You know, Jim Cummings got to get his checks. I can respect this.
Yeah.
But like, here's where that's the part that bums me out, where it like loops, where I think it does loop back into the series from a structural standpoint. And this is where like the thing I dislike most about the Luke Skywalker thing is, like you said, it's fine and like isolated
from
nothing
as a whole.
it's not the first time that they've done that. Like, they did that in fucking Rogue One. Like, Darth Vader just shows up and fucks shit up for 2 minutes, and then, like...
That's people's favorite scene in that movie, too.
So even just from that standpoint, it's, like, getting a little, like, all right, how many times can you have a single Jedi show up for a bunch of cutting things apart, and then, like... And then just, like, cut back to the actual narrative we're, like, we're a part of?
Once per narrative. At least they had set it up, even from the first scene, where they said, you're going to find a Jedi.
Right.
Like, at that point, there's only so many directions you can go with it. Even reiterating it throughout the series by having lines like, well, you know, there aren't very many Jedi left.
Yeah. Like, and that's the part about it that bums me out the most, honestly, because if you look at the structure of, like, the season as a whole, but especially at, like, stuff in this episode, it's like the way that they have definitely approached the season, which is, you know, in my mind, the way that Star Wars is always the weakest in the Disney era is not like no one is going into the writer's room and asking, what is a cool Star Wars story we can tell?
How do we tie this into
the writer's room and said, we're going to have Luke Skywalker show up in this episode, so what do we need to write down to make that work? And then they work backwards and like, all right, well, the troopers, like, Luke can't just be cutting people apart, so the troopers are robots, and if the troopers are robots, we have to have someone say that the troopers are robots just so Luke can cut them into pieces. And like,
I mean, I see that cynical approach of explaining away a situation where Luke Skywalker can be a monster. It's fun.
I still think those robots are really stupid, though. Like,
hey, man, they're from the Dark Forces game.
I'm aware that they're from a video game.
A game that I have played and didn't remember that until the internet told me.
They're so generic and so just unimaginative. Like, it's just like, oh, this is just an evil robot.
I mean, they're Star Wars Terminators.
I know, but it's stupid.
They're not that different from the battle droids. The old Star Wars movie.
Those at least had like a more interesting design. These are just like kill bots. But I did appreciate
the bigger ones.
I did appreciate that they got shot out like Atrax and then came back in. Like, of course the airlock wasn't going to stop them. They don't breathe. I got a kick out of that when they actually did come back in. Like, yeah, of course that wasn't the end.
I thought that was kind of funny. Like, I was okay with that. And like I saw other people. You know, somewhat rightfully dunking on the fact that, like, why is there an airlock right where all the robots are stored?
No, exactly.
But, like, but also, like, they'd have to leave the ship from somewhere.
Yeah.
So, like, and the fact that they do come back from space.
Episode or two prior.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, like that did, that kind of shit doesn't really bother me anymore of, like it's fine. It's, you know, it's a TV show. Like, that. Like when it's non-narrative, like, contrivances, like, sure, who cares?
I want to know why, after the robots were activated, why the bar was still charging to let them out. Like, that really bothered me. When you shoved the USB stick in.
That's right.
And they're, like, all ready to go. And then it's just, like, they're literally not charging anymore. They're like, oh, this takes a lot of energy for them to get going. And they're already unhooked and, like, in the door. And the bar is still going.
But, yeah, so the things that I dislike about the Luke Skywalker thing are twofold. It's that thing I just said, which is that, like, I just wish they would let people write Star Wars from an inspiration standpoint, not from, like, an obligation standpoint.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I hate about it is the similar to the way that I feel about the Boba Fett thing, I guess in, like, a slightly different way of, like, it just really feels like a dead end for some of the things that are happening in The Mandalorian.
Yeah. 'Cause,
like, you know what could be up with Grogu?
Who knows?
In the future, anything. Like, you could make up anything you want. And you know what's up with him now that we've locked him into the, like, the core canon of what happens in Star Wars? Nothing. He either, like, dies when Kylo Ren goes apeshit, or they'll, like, contrive some other stupid, like, I don't know. He's still, like, a four-year-old, but he just escaped for some reason. And
the theory I like is that they'll bring him back out for episodes 10 through 12 as a Yoda figure.
I wonder how that would even
work. And you just have a minor plot contrivance to explain how he got away from...
Or, like, why he is how old he is. Because, like if I guess, and I guess we don't know, like, if Yoda's species ages linearly or not, but, like... Because if he's 50 now and he's, like, non-verbal, like, how old does he have to be to be, like, a teenager? Unless it just, like, ramps up at some point, and then, like, in, like, 10 years he's going to grow.
Growth is a bell curve.
Teen Yoda.
That's my favorite movie.
But anyway, that's beside the point. But, like, the cool thing about The Mandalorian before that is that these are stories that are outside of the main canon, which means you can just do other shit and give the focus to other people. And the disappointing thing about it after that is that it's looped right back into the stuff that we already know is going to happen. Which, like, and that's the other thing, like, I feel like if they'd approached those other sequel movies differently, like, even when I was the highest I ever was on The Force Awakens, the thing I disliked the most about it was how fucking belabored they were at that point to just arbitrarily reset the universe to the exact state it was at the start of A New Hope. Yeah. They just decided that, like, oh, the New Republic, well, it's not really a big deal. The First Order is basically still just the Empire. The good guys are still basically just rebels. Like, like they just couldn't... Like, the Expanded Universe at least did that. Like, they envisioned a world where, like, Luke's got this whole Jedi Academy, and, like, there's a functioning government, and, like...
Functioning government.
Yeah, and just, like, that stuff changed. Like, that they moved forward, and, like, things were different than when they had been previously. And so the, like, tethering this other Star Wars thing people like... back to that, like, just dragging us back to that like, boring reset point, like, from which there is very little divergence that you can do, as that part of that is the most disappointing thing about it to me. It's just like, why did you, we can do whatever we want out here in this other little corner of the universe, and the thing you're gonna do is pull us back to a state that we know to be, like, kind of lame and disappointing. Like, it's the, it's just closing off other, like, avenues for doing cool shit in the future, I guess.
One of the things I both liked and disliked about not just Mandalorian, but how Dave Filoni, the showrunner, treats the whole Star Wars properties, he's not afraid to, like, tie it, you know, he's not afraid to accept both what came before and after in terms of where the movies set things in the plot. So in this series specifically, you got, like, the pit droids from episode one on that Tatooine Lady Station, which is really neat, and the battle droids from the prequel trilogies killed his parents.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
You also crap, like, the whole premise of Baby Yoda is that they're using him to clone the garbage Palpatine crap from episode 9. Like, that they're tying that all in together.
Which, right.
You know, narratively, if you're going to look at it as a wide hole, yeah, all right, that kind of makes sense, but at the same time, you're just kind of beholden to these stupid things they decided to...
Yeah, I'd forgotten all about that. Like, I straight up blocked it out. That was like, right. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is like, those are the Stokes, I guess, or whatever.
Oh, is that what they were getting at? That kind of blew past my head. Wow.
But yeah, again, like, it couldn't just be, like, they couldn't just leave it at, like, no, this is just, like, the scheme of a, like, you know, Imperial platoon or whatever, like, this is just a thing that's happening in Star Wars universe, like, no, this is part of the only thing that ever happens in the Star Wars universe.
Because honestly, that's kind of why I'm a little disappointed with the actual, like, ending note of the season, because I liked when it was just... Din and Grogu. Like, I liked their dynamic. Right. It was cute to see him have to go from this, like, very rigorously trained mercenary bounty hunter type guy into, like, a dad. And they put so much emphasis on it in that first season of, like, oh, like, this is a foundling. Like, you're in charge of this foundling. Like, you should take care of him. Like, I would have liked to see him become a Mandalorian instead. Like,
or whatever.
He could have just, like gotten rid of, like,
that Yoda armor.
Yeah. Make him
you can make a toy of that. You can sell that for, like, $60. Make a really nice one.
Yeah. I would have liked it because, like, when Ahsoka... When she was like, oh, he's like super attached to you. Like, he probably shouldn't be a Jedi because she's got some experience with super attached people who are Jedis.
And that's another, like, thank you. Like, I also have a lot of, like, side criticisms for how, like, lame and overt I think the dialogue is a lot of the time. That interaction specifically I really enjoyed because they didn't, like, belabor the point of, like, she didn't come on screen and tell you every minute detail about her backstory, or, like, I knew a Jedi. His name was Anakin, and then he became Darth Vader, and Darth Vader's a bad guy. Like, no, it's fine.
That,
like,
episode was surprisingly subtle. For
and it was fun to watch.
Yeah,
like, that one was one of the
I enjoyed that episode,
like,
a lot.
If you're going to have Jedi show up, just, like, do some new cool shit like that. Like, they just, like,
her fight with the lady with the spear, whatever her name was, that was a neat fight. I liked it.
Well, especially, like, she wasn't trying to win that fight until she just got to the end. It's like, all right, we're done now.
But it was just like, I would have liked to see them, like, maybe he just doesn't want to do the stone thing. Maybe he just refuses because she's like, oh, he could just not reach out with the Force. But then he does. And
again, if you, like, if you had if you like took an eraser and like scrubbed Luke Skywalker out of that last episode and either put her in there or just like discarded the Jedi thing entirely.
Yeah.
But like whatever. Just like give us like what's her future in the universe? I don't know.
She gets
that's,
her own show.
That's the best part. Like just like
I'm really looking forward to that Ahsoka show now. I mean, I was anyway, but
is it still going to be Rosario Dawson? I guess it probably will be. Like, yeah, she was in that Daredevil show, so she does TV. Sure, whatever.
Disney will pay a lot of money.
Right, I was saying, the check will clear. She'll be like, oh, right. That's a lot of zeros.
And I'm not just talking about the mouse ears.
But yeah, it's well, like
they've really written themselves narratively into a difficult corner where you need to either keep this baby in this show forever, which, you know, that gets kind of old every episode, or just the baby isn't in the way and he has to be a father but also be a front lines shooting at stuff bounty hunter, which is fun for two seasons, season and a half, but can you go 8 seasons or whatever with that?
Well, yeah, but like that's when the magic of like flash forwards and time skips come in. Like,
well, I think that actually might be what happens.
Yeah, right. We'll see.
They jump forward for a while and then they can reunite them, and baby Yoda less of a hindrance.
I still would have liked him to be a Mandalorian instead. I think maybe that would have made for a more interesting show.
And again, I kind of don't care. I just don't want him to be like, I don't want any of the characters in this side part of the universe to be directly tied, like, to be culpable to all the stupid bullshit that is already canon in Star Wars.
I think that might be the bright side of whether the Baby Yoda is written out of the show or is just takes a backseat for a while. Now they don't have to focus on all this Jedi stuff. They can go back to focusing on whatever next word.
I could be down with
Mandalorian
that.
Mandalorian Darth Saber stuff. Or
to some extent.
He's going off and doing his own thing.
And I do still dig, like, I do hope they get into that stuff. Like I said, that's where I would like them if they're going to keep this narrative going. Like, give us that. Take us to Mandalore at some point and, like, resolve this thing between these various characters and their different, like, thoughts and feelings about what it means to be a Mandalorian.
Right. And I especially want to see that because this stuff has been, this is a long-form story that goes back all the way through the Clone Wars. Like, there has been a lot of Mandalorian stuff in all these shows, and this was just the next step for all that in Mandalorian. So, and, you know, I know that there will be more of it. They didn't come all this way just to drop it.
I'm trying to think of other... If anyone else has other thoughts about any of this specific thing, just shout it out. I'm just, like, rolling over in my mind.
I mean, like, I enjoyed a lot of both seasons, but it was kind of interesting to see, like, season one was mostly its own thing, even compared to any other Star Wars media. And you get into season two and they start pulling all these plot threads from mostly Clone Wars. And it was kind of interesting to see that happen. And I wondered how people that hadn't been invested in, you know, Ahsoka Tano or Bo-Katan or people that no one had ever seen before, how they reacted to those plot points getting pulled into it that didn't have the reference points that these animated shows brought in. Like, you get to the end of the one episode and Ahsoka literally says, you know, where's Grand Admiral Thrawn? Like,
yeah, and that's another, like, I don't even know what that is. Because, like, if you're going to do that, like, I guess just either show that character or, like, yeah, what a weird thing to just toss out there.
That was more blatant example of setting up another show than even the Mandalorian Boba Fett trailer.
Like, does that character exist in any of that animated canon, or is he just from the... Because I'm familiar with the books that start...
Rebels.
Okay, all right.
He was an antagonist for the last season.
So he has already been reinserted into the actual canon after being shelved from
the plot, and it makes sense for Ahsoka to be asking about him.
Okay, that's something, I guess, because I didn't know that. I was just like, oh, that's just other... That's like when What's-Her-Name says Taras Kasi in the fucking...
Right.
In the Solo movie. It's just like, it's just a thing that nerds will recognize.
Yeah.
But that's I respect that at least a little more. If he exists in the universe and has like is known to have machinations in that other content, that's something.
Right.
But yeah, that's
I'm not even playing into like who is going to be quote the Jedi that shows up, because they're the way they tie all these things together. There were like 3 or 4 different characters it could have been, and most of them people that hadn't seen those shows or played those video games would have never heard of. So it was interesting to see whether they went that route of somebody like what was the guy's name? kind of the Jedi from the start PS4 game from this year.
Sure.
People thought it could have been him, or just, you know, dig out Luke Skywalker.
Exhume Luke Skywalker.
Right. I'm just pulling another zombie out of the closet. It's like, I don't know. There's another Palpatine. Like, what? But yeah, again, like, just like, just give us new stuff, or like, or expand on stuff that is not worn to death.
No,
like,
right.
Like, if that had been the landing point we ended up with in the, if it had either been like, Grand Admiral Thrawn or someone like him, instead of just like ultimately all that stuff from the Disney trilogy leading up to just more Palpatine nonsense. Like, give me something, man. Give me something else. Like,
I don't want
to. Yeah, right. We don't need to relitigate it because it's pointless. Like, but like I said, yeah. I just wish they would lean away from all that stuff for the new
things. 5 minutes, just like 5 minutes, guys.
And that's the other.
In defense of Mandalorian, of like, it was only 5 minutes of Luke Skywalker showing up and going away. Like, if that's all it is, great.
Yeah, that's.
You know, I'll let you get away with it just because it was a fan servicey thing.
Right. Like, I don't think it mars the whole show or the whole season that he showed up at the end and took a character away. Like, to me, it didn't. I thought it was kind of stupid, but it didn't bother me that much.
Well, it's fun.
Yeah, I guess. Sure. I guess it's just for me. I find it distracting from the like it shows me that they haven't really learned anything. When you look at those movies and they're like. And the thing that they learned from, like, you know, Solo doing badly and just, like, just really leaning into, like a cartoonish, fan fiction levels of, like, what are we going to do with this universe? Like, they didn't learn anything from any of that. The thing that they learned is, like, that when some executive sat down at a board meeting and then they showed that, like, some of the side movies underperformed and that, like, critical reception to, what is it even called? The final Skywalker, the last...
Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, who cares? Like the critical reception of that was pretty poor. The thing that they sat down in that boardroom and said to themselves was, "All right, here's what people like about Star Wars. They like when it's on television. they don't want 2-hour movies. They want 8-hour epics across like that. That's the thing that's wrong with Star Wars, is we just like have to package it differently."
And again, I'll go to bat for Dave Filoni again. Like, he's got a lot of passion for this whole series, and he does the legwork that the movies did. Like, all this stuff, at least in his mind, is planned out.
Yeah, and to be fair, that impulse is not like
indiscretion getting in the way.
I don't think that impulse is completely untrue, but for me, I just want them to approach it from I want them to approach it from the opportunity of like, all right, we've got these longer stretches of time that we can tell more elaborate stories with and like flesh out characters more deeply. So how are we going to spend that time? Are we going to spend it doing things that we haven't done before, right, and showing you people who we haven't shown you, or who we have shown you very little of? Or are we going to put Boba Fett on screen for 8 hours and just show him like that was cool the one time he did it, like when he was busted shit up, but like, is the Boba Fett series just going to be, he's just going to kill his way across Tatooine and become king?
Don't know
shit
about it.
So I don't know. We'll see.
And that's the thing. Like, when they went through that whole slate of 8,000 new Star Wars shows, like, they specifically singled out the ones that Dave Filoni was working on, the Ahsoka and the one about the New Republic,
right?
Starfighters or whatever.
Yeah,
like, I'm super excited for those. And then you get the other ones, like the Obi-Wan show. I don't think he's directly involved with. I don't know what they're going to do with that. I'm kind of worried because his arc in the show or in the universe is more or less complete. Like, for this time that they're going to drag him out for, he should just be sitting on Tatooine in a cave.
Right, 100%. And that's the thing of, like, the obligation part of it all that really bums me out, because that's where you get to the point of, like, it's not like I'm an executive who approves these series and my door is open, so when somebody comes up from a writer's room and says, "Hey, I've got this idea," like, that's not how these things are getting approved. They're getting approved in the same way that they approved way too many of those fucking movies, where it's like, we need Star Wars content every X months. So I'm going to put... a bunch of empty sticky notes on, like, you know, every 6 months apart that say Star Wars question mark on them, and then you people need to figure out what to fill them with. But I don't particularly care what you fill them with. Just, like, make sure that there's more Star Wars.
I want an Obi-Wan slice of life show. Like,
yeah, that'd be fun. Just that might
him
be
in
what
a,
it is.
Just him in a cave.
Yeah, I guess, just, it could be. Just, like, drinking his own urine and
sure.
Like, learning to speak Jawa. And...
Give me that.
Yeah,
I confirmed Hayden Christensen for that show. So, yeah. I mean, it could be like told in flashbacks and memories and stuff like that, and that would be cool.
Just like more glimpses into like they live actionify some of the shit that
Darth Vader comes to Tatooine and Obi-Wan confronts him. Like, go kill yourselves. Don't do that.
How much of that, like, how often do we get to see Darth Vader's laser or Darth Vader's lava palace and then, like, he's just sitting on his weird throne and his stupid lava world just hanging out?
He only has the high ground.
Right, he built the lava palace on top of a mountain so that he would always have a high ground.
I hate you.
Yeah, it's kind of wild that, like... for as, like, stupidly in the weeds as all that shit got, it makes me like legitimately miss when they were like when they went so far, so batshit crazy in the expanded universe that's like, oh yeah, you know what's a threat in the Star Wars universe now? So there's this whole other alien race from, like, a different dimension, but they don't have the Force. They're like Force void, and then they have weird, like, gross, like, fucking Zerg shit from Star Trek where it's all like disgusting living crap and.
That was descriptive.
I've heard it quoted that they're gonna bring those guys back.
I don't even know how you say it out loud because I read it in the Yuzhan Vog, I think. Is
oh yeah, that's right. I couldn't remember.
You fucking nerds.
I mean, I got all those books in the closet over there. If you want to read like 27 books about fucking Leia and Luke's or Leia and Han's three kids and like all that nonsense,
they all turn out bad.
You don't say.
Sokka gets crushed by a moon.
Yep.
That was when I bailed out. I was done at that point.
Big Chewbacca stan.
No, I was just like, this is stupid.
That's fair.
And it was stupid, but at least it was different. Like, it was both really dumb and, like, but at least someone bothered to come up with something. Like, someone...
I mean, I don't want to spoil, like, anything that you might either see in... some of those other cartoons or going forward in the Ahsoka show, but man, like, what if that could be is kind of wild.
So yeah, we'll see.
You've never seen before, I'll tell you that. Not in Star Wars anyway.
Turns out that's most things, because Star Wars is like three things.
And again, I'm not even super familiar, like, I'm as familiar with, like, reading a Wikipedia article about it or whatever one time, but like, I'm kind of glad that the Darksaber isn't itself like a magically imbued object. It just has like cultural significance, basically.
Right.
I can be down with that.
How is it different than a lightsaber?
I mean, I don't think it is. It's just like the blade just looks really a little old. Different.
Okay.
Yeah.
A Mandalorian made a lightsaber.
Okay. I wasn't sure if there was supposed to be a difference because the first time you see it, I'm like, oh, this guy's got a lightsaber. And then it's like, lol, it's not a lightsaber. I'm like, okay.
No, it's a lightsaber. It's just a funny looking lightsaber.
It's not a capital L lightsaber.
Or that's like it's like the Kleenex tissue thing. Like, if a Jedi didn't make it, I guess it's not a lightsaber. I guess it's something else. But
beam sword.
Right, it's a beam sword, 100%.
That was one of the coolest things for me. It's just seeing, like, I couldn't believe that they put the Darksaber in a live action show. This is this odd thing from the Clone Wars.
Yeah, and again, I kind of dug that. Like, that was a much better stinger thing to me at the end of the last season. But again, because it's just like a part of that universe that hasn't been done to death already. Like, okay, it's either a thing you've never seen before if you're not familiar with the Clone Wars shit at all.
Yes,
or it's just, you know, something that hasn't been in that all the movies haven't revolved around and shit like that. Like, it's just something else.
What movies
like,
were you watching? It's only been different. In there. It's always been the Darksaber.
It's in the background of every like there's a shot of it somewhere.
Yep. You just missed it every single time.
I mean, if you like shit like that, like, I still strongly recommend Clone Wars.
I might watch it at some point. Well, yeah. That's the kind of thing where, like,
one thing I should do, I should go through and, like, get up like a watch list
ready for people that want to do that, because there's a lot of stuff you can skip.
Yeah, I would 100% do that, because that's right. That's the thing about that for me is just whenever you point me at a TV show that is like, you know, seasons, five or more seasons or whatever, it's just like, that's a lot of hours to... Yeah, if you decided to curate a, like, here are the, like, 20 or 30 must-watch Clone Wars episodes, I would absolutely watch those.
All right, I'll do that sometime this weekend. Uh-huh. I'll do Rebels, too, because the Rebels is especially egregious, because, you know, not knowing the context. It was on Disney XD or some... whatever the kids show.
I was going to say, it wasn't even... I thought it was more of a kids show. Was, like,
baby's first dumb Star Wars kids.
Star kids?
Was it as dumb as the, like... those cartoons from the 90s where it's like, it's the Ewoks for like six episodes, and then we're canceling this because why would anyone watch a show about the fucking Ewoks?
No, I'm sick of watching the movies about the fucking Ewoks.
They made that art. We had a VHS tape. I don't remember if it was two VHS tapes or it was one, but it had episodes of the animated Ewoks series and the animated, like, R2-D2 C-3PO, like, team up.
Oh my god.
It was
so stupid. Like, it was so dumb. Even as, like, a fucking gooby 8-year-old, I was like, this is stupid. What are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rebels, for the most part, isn't very good, to me, at least, but there is some really great stuff in it that pulls from plotline started in Clone Wars. Like, my literal favorite scene in any Star Wars media is towards the end of Rebels, so.
Okay. Yeah, I can get down with that. That's cool. Yeah. Again, like, that's all I want. Like, I don't even want them to not do the shit that they're like keep selling toys or whatever. It's fine. Just like hire people to make up narratives, like, so people have a reason to want the toys other than, like, well, it has Star Wars on it. Like, there's the words Star and Wars sequentially, so that's why I want to buy this.
Money, please.
I wonder how their approach internally is to that now, because, like, the movies didn't sell the toys like they used to, just on one side because the movies weren't very good, then the characters weren't very memorable. But on the other side, like, this isn't 30 years ago anymore. Yeah. Like, people don't just buy toys of, you know, whatever random characters they come across.
Right. Yeah, and right, the media landscape is just
lost their novelty.
Just so much more diverse. So it's not like, like, kids are going to be faced with, like, 1,500 things that they might be into enough to, like, want to buy a toy of it. Like, there's going to be less singularly transfixed on, like, a single, you know, movie or property or whatever than they would have been in the past. So,
I wonder what their plan is for merchandising all this crap going forward. Especially after Baby Yoda became, you know,
like,
a merchandising legend.
Brian, what were you going to say?
I said Lego.
Yeah, right. I think a lot of Legos. Cool too.
Legos are cool, yeah. I own a couple of those, like none of the crazy expensive ones, but a couple of, like, the mid-priced, like, the little shit models. Like, they're nice. They're neat.
I got the Mandalorian AT-ST over here.
It's kind of cool.
I love it.
Yeah, that's, like I said, that's ultimately the thing that, like, when they talk about, like, a set number of television shows coming down the pipe for the future, I just wish they were more selective. Like, I wish they would pick the best projects to make and not all the projects that we can make.
Some of them sound pretty cool. Like, there's one, like, set in the era before any of the movies, just as, I can't remember what it's called, but just focus on some of the characters that have no ties to anything anywhere. Like, sure. That could be fun.
And then there's other stuff. There's, like, even outside of the Star Wars branch of, like, the Disney Empire, there's other stuff that, like, is just, like, that they've just gone full on, like, intellectual bankruptcy, like that fucking Buzz,
back the Willow movie or whatever.
Yeah, and that fucking Buzz Lightyear prequel thing, which is, like, what? The stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life. So Pixar is making a movie about Buzz Lightyear, the man, like that, like that. Right. There was a person in the Toy Story universe named Buzz Lightyear who was, like, an actual space astronaut person, like, and they're making a movie about that character or character's origin story. Where, like, what? What are you even talking about?
Ran out of ideas for Toy Story 5. So.
Yeah, I guess. Like
so there was, like, way back in the day, on the Disney Channel, there was a Buzz Lightyear TV show, but it was just like in that universe, not a toy. Right, I think it was like, he was a right, man.
I think it was like the Saturday afternoon cartoon.
Yeah,
show
exactly. So that's in my mind. I'm like, Buzz Lightyear wasn't a person. Yeah. He's like Luke Skywalker. He's just some made up thing that kids liked, and then they made a toy of it. Like, so, like, what are you even doing, you guys? Come on.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford couldn't film Indiana Jones this year. We got to fill out the schedule.
I guess so, but like. Yeah, that kind of shit is like
one more Indiana Jones.
I am almost certain they have it, and I'm guessing the number shifts like every time they like bat it back and forth with management or whatever. But like, the Pixar math has got to be like, all right, you get two for us and one for you. So like you get two that are gonna sell more cars toys, and then one where you can go, you know, make a movie about death or whatever.
Right, we'll forget that in a year, and you'll shit out another Toy Story movie.
But yeah, man, like, that's the best that they could come up with. Like, even just make another Toy Story about the other toys or something. Yeah. Like, just, like, something that's less... I don't even know, dude.
There's a world of toys out there. You could make a new Toy Story based on new toys.
Yeah, no, like, impossible. Dude, it's just, yeah, I don't even know, man.
Or you don't have to keep giving Tim Allen money.
he's not in that movie, apparently. It's Captain America is the voice of that Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, oh, wild.
Okay. Yeah, it's Chris Evans.
More or less expensive.
Probably more.
Oh, than Tim Allen? That's the thing. Like, in a vacuum, more expensive than Tim Allen, but, like, if Tim Allen as Buzz Lightyear, maybe less expensive. Like...
Is there a difference?
Well, I would assume there is, like, based on every, like, subsequent contract he signed.
Okay.
I bet the price of being Buzz Lightyear goes up annually.
Maybe.
But who knows? Like, I'm no, you know, yeah, I'm no Hollywood insider. I couldn't fucking tell you for sure. But yeah, like, I don't even know, dude. So, yeah, I hope some of it's good. And like you said, I do have some faith in some of those
the shows
creators, just like everything you've talked about from the Clone Wars, I can jive with, cuz like I said, that's the stuff that, like, absent from watching that series, but watching this season of Mandalorian, that's the stuff that I was most interested in.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm sure some of that stuff will bear fruit, but yeah. Man, is it gonna get tiresome when they're like, there's like one good Star Wars series to like the three other ones that are total crap?
Right, there's gonna be 30 Star Wars shows. They're gonna be all across the spectrum.
Do you think they'd ever just shuck the brand,
like Star Wars? Period.
Yeah.
If it ever like full stops making money,
like,
they'll
if
do
they
it,
do it to death, like they kind of are. Do you think they would give it away or like get rid of it, or do you think just because they hoard everything that they're just gonna shove it in the Disney vault and
definitely
it?
That if for some reason like it becomes like wildly unmarketable, yeah, they'll just like they'll keep it in their back pocket, and like 20 years from that point, they'll be like, hey, remember Star Wars?
Everybody, it's even weird. Like, Disney is famous for like literally influencing copyright law so that they don't have to give up properties.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, right. They defend to the hilt, like, all those old, like, you know, Snow White is like a thing that, like, is still part of the, like, and, like, you know, that movie was important for animation, but it's not, like, important for consumers now. But they still, you know, they trot her out of the theme parks and stuff. So,
yeah. The only reason the vast majority of our copyright law is the way it is because of fucking Disney. Like, gotta protect that mouse, I guess.
At this point, they've invested so much into Star Wars that they would have to, like, there would have to be a catastrophe.
Yeah, like, I would think it would have to be a startling disinterest from the public. Like, it is such a sunk cost at this point. They're they may still get there. Who can say?
Yeah.
They took their hits from these movies and, like, all right, we're gonna make TV shows now, and the TV shows up till now have done very well, so
right. Mandalorian has been Disney Plus's saving grace to this point.
Right, it's the thing that people subscribe for.
Right,
so yeah, I don't know,
now we'll have a Rogue Squadron movie.
Right, that's true. From I think the Wonder Woman lady,
I believe you're right.
And yeah, I think I guess I'll find out next week, because we'll totally check it out. But I've heard that Wonder Woman is supposedly very good, which is like,
that's surprising, because I've heard like leading up to it, people were real sour.
Well, I
on
thought
it.
The trailer looked like absolute shit. Yeah. Like, I was not interested in that movie from watching the trailer, so I'd love for that to be incorrect.
Speculative pieces,
but I guess we'll see.
I saw were real, like, bar knowing actually anything about the content of the film.
Yeah, that trailer for that movie is boring in the same way that a lot of the Star Wars shit is boring. It's like, oh, you brought the guy back, and like it's the same dynamic but reversed.
Right.
Like, that's exactly what it looks like in the trailer. So, either it is that movie, or there's like something more to it. I don't know, but we'll find out.
Yeah.
But yeah,
we'll see. The first one was okay.
Yeah, yeah, right. I first one's all right.
It was fine.
Uh-huh. It's like the only good DC movie.
It's up there. Right? You and Shazam.
All right, Shazam.
To me, I'd put like Wonder Woman is a little bit better than Man of Steel and right about as good as Shazam. That's and I don't know if there are any other DC movies I liked.
Yeah. I think that's about right.
I will save us all.
I think if you guys, if you get the chance and you're like super bored and you're like, I literally don't know what I'm going to do for the next 2 hours.
You're going to say Birds of Prey, aren't you?
Yeah, you should watch that Birds of Prey movie because that movie is like, if you cut, if you made it like half as long as it is, if that was like a really long episode of television, I feel like it would be pretty good. But it, as it is, it's just like.
Without anything, having not seen Suicide Squad.
Not really. I don't think so. Okay. Like, because you like, and that's another cultural osmosis thing where it's like, oh, you know where Harley Quinn is, right? Because you're like a nerd or whatever. Well like, that's enough. That's as much as you need to know about that show. It's just like, or that show, that movie.
I probably get there's no like plot stuff from Suicide Squad that's relevant.
Yeah, it's like
the Suicide Squad had a plot.
The Joker exists, and they're not together anymore. Yeah. That's as much to
that's the plot of the movie.
Yeah, that's the plot of the movie. And yeah, it just feels really like there's something nice and scrappy about it because you could tell it was one of the cheaper, like they didn't fucking spend $200 million on it. Like so,
went real quick.
Yeah, so from that aspect, it's kind of nice, but it is like it feels a little long.
Before you'd even said that, I'd literally forgotten it existed.
Same.
Yeah, well, that was another. I feel like that was another one that like
it fucked up the marketing real bad.
Yeah, that and it was still like a little bit beholden to like the COVID because it was still in theaters. Like it was in theaters. I think it had come out the week we were in Florida.
Yeah,
because if you guys remember, I'm pretty sure it came out while we were in Disney World.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We could have gone. We could have walked to the AMC or whatever and saw it that week, and then and then we got home, and then the world ended.
February 7th.
Yeah, if you'll remember, that movie came out and it was just called Birds of Prey and everybody didn't know what it was. And then they tried to change the title, but they had already spent all the
time. Came out, right. We gotta stick to Harley Quinn's name in the title, so we need to go see it.
Which, and like, the most shocking thing about to me about that is like that wasn't their first impulse, like that they did that after the fact. Yeah, like, that's so wild.
Very weird.
Especially
because I think. It is the Harley Quinn movie. It is more a Harley Quinn movie than it is the Birds of Prey.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the two huge criticisms I would have of it is that it feels, I don't even know what its runtime is, but whatever it is, it feels really long. Like it feels like they could have cut it down significantly. And the Birds of Prey, the other characters are just like they really just kind of show up, like they get sprinkled in throughout the runtime, and then at the very end, they just like kind of arbitrarily come together and all have an action scene together. Like
power
it is not
friendship.
It does not feel like an equally balanced film about all of these people. It is a movie about Harley Quinn and she runs into some people on the street.
I'm sure that we'll come do that again in the next Suicide Squad movie that's coming out.
Great.
Soon.
So happy. Yeah.
But this time I don't know when they are coming out, but they got to be pretty much done with it.
I think it is. Stop going.
Yeah.
Right. And all that Warner Brothers stuff, that's like at this point they've got like all that stuff at the can and they're just figuring out where to put it on the HBO Max calendar now. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, which month are we gonna put this out in for our streaming?
They'll
service?
Hold out as long as they can. Well, maybe theaters will come back next month.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, anyway, it's just I hope that some Star Wars content is of a quality in the future, which like I'm sure some of it will be, but
right. I feel like that'll I'm not sure.
Like, I know that their budget is ridiculous and that they take it seriously. And, you know, for all the faults of Mandalorian at the very tail end of season two, overall, the two seasons were among the best Star Wars content that has ever been produced.
Absolutely.
Like, for a wider audience.
Yeah. And I think I'll just probably do the exact same thing I did when Netflix had, like, really spun up all those Marvel shows. So, like initially, I was like, yeah, I'll watch a little bit of all of these when there's a certain number of them, and then like past a certain point I was like, no, I'm not gonna watch Iron Fist, like that's it's fine, I don't need to watch Iron Fist, that seems
like you did not need to watch Iron Fist. Good choice. Yeah, again, I've heard that the second season of Iron Fist was actually good.
I didn't know there were two seasons of it.
Like Iron Fist season one I'll give like a D, season two I'll give like somewhere between like a B and a B minus.
Yikes.
Okay.
That's high praise.
There are good shows from that Netflix Marvel universe that I haven't watched, because I've never seen Luke Cage season 2, and I never saw Jessica Jones season 3, so. Or Punisher season 2. Like,
Punisher season 2 is alright.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing with all those Marvel shows, is that they kind of wore out their welcome, other than Daredevil season 3. Like, they just
right. I like the Mandalorian and almost all of the Netflix Marvel shows.
But yeah.
My favorite dumb little Easter egg, we'll call it, in the Mandalorian. It's like, you know those carts that the stormtroopers come in with, like, the doors on the side that they can stand in?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Alright, well, like, those are in this show a couple times, where you just have, like, 8 stormtroopers hanging out of a mobile
transport. That reminds me of a different thing that I thought of, that, like,
1975 or whatever.
That as the episode was going on, I was just like, I believe it was the episode where, Boba Fett was throwing down with the staff or whatever, and I guess Grogu was on the rock meditating. Was that that was all the same thing, right?
I think so.
It was like, it was just like, I feel like they lost count at some point. Somehow they had like 60 stormtroopers poured up, like, walk out of that transport that looked like it could have held 15 people.
Didn't like a second one land?
They did have a second one show up, like, but after that, but it was still just like there were so many bodies from, like, such a physically small object.
Stormtroopers still on them.
Yeah.
And for a show that costs so much money per episode or whatever, I was both like enthusiastic and like slightly tickled by the fact that, like, man, does that episode look like 60 Star Trek. Like, that sure looks like they went out to the middle of nowhere in Southern California and just shot some shit.
that is a very Star Trek set that they ended up on. They blew up his ship.
Yeah, right. They blew up all his stuff.
He's homeless now. No. He has a stick.
He has no ship. He has no house.
He's got a stick and no child. And a lady who wants to kill him.
Din is a murderer. He is a murderer. And is very good at what he does.
Oh, that was also...
Mandalorians are good at a lot of stuff.
Yeah, as far as, like...
What they're good at is killing,
like,
each other.
Pointless side observations. Like, what a funny, weird, like... They had Mulan show back up, and she's like, I have cyber abs now. And that's why I'm indebted to Boba Fett, because he gave me cyber abs. Like, okay,
I liked her character.
Sure. I like her, too. I like
Ming-Na. It was just a bit of a pocket.
Yeah, I like Ming-Na Wen. She's like, you know.
Yeah, she's great.
In the episodes of that S.H.I.E.L.D. series I watched, like, she's good in that. Mm-hmm. Like, she's fun to have around. I like seeing her on scene.
I like Sloane, too. She was funny. Why did her laser gun jam? How is that possible?
I thought the same thing. I was like,
yeah.
I was so mad.
I was laughing so hard. I was like, light comes out of it. It doesn't shoot bullets.
For a laser gun jamming in Star Wars.
It happened, like, even in an episode before where Din was fighting on top of the trainers.
I mean, he just chucks the gun.
He throws his gun at the
side. To be fair, Imperial weapons are garbage.
Right, 100%. I was like, their gear is just shitty because they don't spend money on the armor either.
Right.
I actually really liked a lot of that episode when he and that other guy were like,
it was awesome.
Infiltrating the base.
The episode before, they set up to bring back the character from season 1, Bill Barr's character, I don't remember his name. I don't want to see that character
again.
Mayfield, thank you. And I was like, he's a boring character I don't need to see again. And then they gave him a good backstory in that episode. A lot of what he does is interesting and makes sense. Like, all right, that was pretty good.
Yeah, I actually totally agree. I really liked their little, like, sit down and stuff. And right, like, I liked his little, like, good for Bill Burr being, like, you know, he had to act and stuff, and he totally did it. Has he acted in anything else? Like, isn't he just for stand-up, basically? And, like, also, he's in The Mandalorian for some reason? Because they have all those, like, comedy people, like, fucking, what's her name from Tatooine?
Because he ranted about
the mechanic.
Star Wars and Star Wars fans, and it went viral. And then they were like, it would be really funny if we put him in the Star Wars thing.
Mm-hmm.
I read that he was in there just kind of as a screw you to one of Jon Favreau's, or one of their friends who was like, I'm in this thing that I don't care about. Like, well, I'll put you in a Star Wars show that you don't care about.
I respect that. But yeah, he did a good job. Like, he was like,
right,
yeah,
no, great.
Yeah, I could.
Yeah, I loved the awkward, awkward
and his
dinner
other,
or whatever.
And his other appearance, he had that like stupid backpack thing from like the fucking that N64 game.
The sentient gun. that episode was great. It was just like a pile episode where they get stuck on a ship. And that's where kind of like, I don't know where they go with this show. Do they keep doing the episode of the week, you know, hijinks, or do they focus on Mandalorian politics and
stuff
like that?
And I think that's more like just like your personal opinion than anything. Like for me, I haven't been tired of the episode of week stuff yet.
Yeah.
Like personally, like I'd rather have that, like I said, than to have Luke Skywalker show up like every two episodes for some reason, which I sure hope they don't do. Like you'd think that would be a little expensive, but.
He might show up in the Ahsoka show. Like, I think it would be amazing if, like, Luke Skywalker sat down with Ahsoka for even a scene. Like, that there's so much that would go into that character interaction that would be really great.
I sure hope they.
Yeah, I don't want to see him again.
I hope they shoot him from behind a bunch. Because, man, that face was weird looking. Like, it was super distracting.
It was weird. Doing their best, okay?
Right, it's like that's where the technology's at. Like, this is as Mark Hamill-y as we can reconstruct from reference
photos. We're not gonna recast him.
Yeah.
We could do a voiceover.
I almost kind of wish they would.
Clearly, like, they put so much time into the parts of his face that they constructed that they couldn't have him, like, animate at all.
If he was going to be on screen, he had to be standing still, like, with you know, the green hood that actor was wearing, just, like, unmoving.
Right. Yeah, it was really jarring. I was surprised they even did that, because when he was in the robe the whole time, I was like, all right, I guess this is fine. And then he took the robe off, and I was like, no.
He's like,
oh! He was just in the robe that whole time to save on the CGI.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And to build some tension to build a character that we all know who it is.
Oh, who could it be? As he walks around with his name tag that says, hi, I'm Luke Skywalker.
Who's got a green sword and a fake hand? I don't know, that could be anybody.
I was really hoping it was an elaborate ruse.
I would have been so funny that, like, and people would have been so mad about it. Like, I would laugh my ass off at that.
Where did you get that lightsaber? Oh, that's a story for another time. I did really like the line when the shock trooper was, oh, good, an X-Wing, we're saved. That was really funny. That was really good.
Oh, yeah. No good one X-Wing.
I think there are a lot of good lines like that throughout the
series. It's well written.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's some good quips.
Like, I know that there'll be a lot of different opinions on how much you want to copy, like, the Marvel formula and stuff like that, but when done right, it's really effective.
Yeah. And I'll meet you guys, like, 60% of the way there. I think, like, a lot of the back and forth dialogue is good. There are, like, still handfuls of lines that I pick out. Like, I think the worst dialogue in that show by far is when it's, like, when it's exposition that I can tell was put in there, like I said, to like, serve an underlying plot point. Like, I think the two of the worst line reads that I didn't cite already, not even the reads, not the performance, but just, like, the fact that someone wrote them out this way, were the, in that episode that I did like with Bill Burr or whatever, the, when they come to the point where he's like, all right, you gotta go to the computer terminal. You gotta take your mask off, because your mask has to be off for the system to work. So it's this thing, like we talked about before, remember? About taking your mask off? You gotta take your mask off. I was just like, oh, Jesus.
He sure got to act really suspicious for a long time.
Yeah, that was... really
and even then, they didn't really pick him out. It's like, you really shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
And again, like, what? So is it like, does it just take a picture of your face when you look up the database? Yeah, like, it's not an access thing, because, like, he's not in the system.
Ignore how ridiculous that is. Like, the system doesn't lock you out inherently. It's just, it locks out the people that they self-select.
Right, like, what?
No, I saw this one meme.
You gotta take the helmet off.
No, it's fine. This one meme that was just like, it showed his face being scanned, and then a flash cut to the computer, and it's like, yep, that's a face, that's all we were looking for. Here are these confidential files.
That's about right.
That's it. That's all it was. Like,
And then the other one like that was when they were in the I think it was in that last episode when they get back with the rest of the Mandalorian crew. Gosh damn it, I can't remember her name again. The main Mandalorian lady.
Yeah. Bo-Katan.
Oh,
Bo-Katan. Bo-Katan. Yeah, when she gets into it with Boba Fett a little bit, and she's like, and man, that line was just so much better if you just leave a chunk of it off. You just have some self-restraint. She's just like, yeah, I've heard your voice a million times before. Because you're a clone. Because you're all clones. Because you remember the clone thing, right?
I see that as a definite that point of exposition where,
but like just like yeah, people can figure it out. Like, it's fine.
The scene, I think, to me was the heaviest and clunkiest exposition dump where I don't know how necessary it was, because that's like kind of surface level lore. That's, you don't have to be a big Star Wars nerd to know all that.
Yeah, it's stuff like that. Anytime
the episode before that, like they're talking about who's gonna show their face at the camera, and he says, I have a very recognizable face or something.
Yeah,
like, that's a great line.
That was really good. That was a great line.
But yeah, like I said, that stuff is good. And then like any time where it feels like they have to explain anything, it just feels so clunky and so like, like it feels like they're writing for below that show's like target audience. So like, all right, now we're writing bad children's television at this point, because like we just can't trust people to put two and two together, like even a little bit. I don't know. But yeah, it's
tough to write for everyone.
By the same note, I loved his like Bill Burr's like monologue thing where he's like having it back and forth with his former commanding officer or whatever. Like, so it's like a real mixed bag for me for some of that stuff. Like, I don't know.
And I had to go look up what Operation Cinder was.
Right, sure. Like, that's something in the canon that like, like I just let that lie. I was like, yeah, sure, totally. It's some Imperial operation thing. Got it. Like,
but they went scorched earth kamikaze on the universe with the rest of their Imperial forces.
Mm-hmm. And again, that's good. So like, that's the kind of like context. That's the kind of stuff that you would have wished they did more with. With like Finn in the trilogy that they did make of like you get a little bit of that in that first movie, but like let us know what it's like being like most of the people in the Empire are dudes who are doing their jobs or whatever. Like, get into that a little bit. Just give us something. Come on.
We'll never see any of those characters again.
No.
Yeah. At least not in those actors' roles. Like, they could come back 40 years later.
I'd like to think that they'll
doing something else.
They'll release like another version of The New Hope that edits in that one guy on the transport ship in the background of a Death Star scene somewhere. Like, see, I was there. Right. Seriously, I was right there. You can see me.
Another comment to both the movies and the show. I mean, I know it's like the New Order or whatever, but like Finn gets reprimanded for having his helmet off. So why would there be protocol in this organization to require that?
Whatever.
Continuity.
Management got way more
die just like 1% every time someone in Imperial says, "We'll be back, order to the galaxy."
Uh-huh, right. Yeah.
I roll it. In a world weary sigh.
Mm-hmm. And that even like I kind of respect that about the Mandalorian, honestly, that like the weakest thing about the First Order in those movies is that they're just like
they're just
fascist-y enough so that you know that they're the bad people, but not like, like, I don't know, there's just something that, like, skirts the line of how bad they are that is, like, weirdly off-putting to me. But in the Mandalorian continuity, it's just like, no, it's just, like, a shitty bureaucracy that, like, what are these people, what else are they gonna fucking do? Like, they're just gonna kind of keep on keeping on because they've been doing this shit so far, so.
Right, it's much more interesting to see, like, the inner workings of dirty stormtroopers and what remains of their empire as opposed to
exactly all that
Nazi propaganda in front of a million CGI
all the stuff on the planet with Carl Weathers or whatever in the first season, like that stuff's great. That's still cool.
Show me
I even liked it more in the first season when like you didn't really see many stormtroopers. All you did see were definitely like cobbled together.
Yeah,
like,
right. They were like, you know, they're doing what they can, but you know, it's been a rough couple months.
Right. And like they still scale back somewhat. Like the Moff Gideon didn't have like a full blown storm Death Star destroyer. He had like the light cruiser instead.
Mm-hmm.
He still had an infinite number of stormtroopers,
which
they explained in the episodes. Like, it'd be such a big deal that he still gets a regular regiment of stormtroopers and so forth.
He's working on Project Snoke. You gotta be staffed if you're gonna make a stupid, ugly baby in a tube.
He gets his allowance of stormtroopers every week.
I think that's I have one or two other thoughts to share on a couple different things, but if anyone else has anything else Mandalorian related, speak now.
Go ahead, Phil. One of the things I did really like about it is something that the movies didn't is like not every time, but a lot of the time you see like a pile of aliens or, you know, random species or whatever. Like you could go through and pick out certain races. Like, oh yeah, that's that episode from, you know, 8 years ago where this species showed up, and that's one of those species. They were on that planet. Like, I think that's neat. So it's like a total world building experience. You sort of just see some of the same aliens, not all the same, but like, there's a lot of familiar looking aliens. When you get to like the sequel trilogy, I don't think there's a single alien in that movie, those movies, that you'd ever seen before, at least alien species wise.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of like shows how little they cared about the universe that it's been set up before it and around it. Like, they just made this shit up as they went along.
You can really tell that the directors and writers for this show gave a shit about Star Wars.
Right. Like, I can look at, like, oh, that's a Quorin. With the angry fish people.
Yell at you and call you a nerd.
In the back of that scene.
I will say this is a pretty big aside, but, like, going all the way back to, like, to our trip out there before the end times. To me, that's the thing that, like, I can't believe they dropped the ball on that is so disappointing to me about the fucking theme park. Like, Disney runs a company where a huge part of their theme park experience is that they have characters and costumes, and they don't have any aliens. Like, they don't have anybody just rolling around as, like, a weird Star Wars person at the theme park thing. Like, come on, man.
Mostly, like, people in stormtrooper outfits, right?
It's all First Order guys, and then the other people are, like, you know, they're, like, they're in-universe humans, but they're not, like, but there's not, like, you know, that wolfman. Like, I want to go run into the wolfman and cut his arm off or whatever. Like...
That's what I would go into, like, the cafeteria there, and just in the corner, there's a wolfman in the dress.
Right, yeah, like, exactly. It should be someone's job to sit in the cantina for all of the opening hours, just hanging out. Just like, I'm just here as a human set dressing. I'm just a weird alien drinking some weird bubbly nonsense. Like, that's my job.
Give him wolf juice.
That first Bill Barr episode, too, like, the one strong man was the Dracula species from that.
Oh, boy. But yeah, anyway, Star Wars is a thing. Star Wars is Star Wars sometimes. Like you said, there's lots of stuff that I did like about it, but overall I'm just like trepidatious for the future.
Sure.
We'll see.
It's hard to see it without seeing the dollar signs.
Yeah.
But that's always been true for Star Wars. Like, every Star Wars thing that's ever existed has had that.
Right. It's more of a factor of how hard you have to squint to see the dollar signs.
Yeah, right, 100%. It's just like, if I can like unfocus my eyes and not see the sailboat, it's just like...
I don't know if there's ever been a Star Wars movie where that was the case at the minimum. And this is the biggest budget Star Wars show.
Sure. So, right? Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. It's just...
Those first two Star Wars movies, I think, are going to be as close to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, I have... two other things I wanted to talk about very briefly.
Oh, gasp.
Before we sign off, just because there are also television things. the first one is one of the other cool things that's on Disney Plus right now, if you happen to have it, is that we watched The Owl House a while ago. And it's real fun. And it's like, that's another thing where like that's very much in the vein of like a lot of these modern animated series where it's like, you know, a kid who's kind of an outsider and then something magical happens to them and now they're in a weird world full of weird stuff. But like it's really good. Like it's just well made and it's fun.
There's some
like,
really nice animated sequences in there too.
So that's like, Lorraine, that's the one thing I wanted to call out specifically. Like you say the things you're gonna say and I'll see if they're the same, because one of the things I was gonna highlight is like, for a thing that like that you know has a certain budget because it's an animated thing in Disney XD, there's two sequences in my mind that I'm like, man, they really went all out. Like, this looks so great. I'm so glad.
I mean,
that
the one that
this.
Is gonna stand out for me for sure is Grom.
That was one of them.
That was I'm trying to remember what the other one, like the one fight.
Yeah, it's like the it's like the final conflict of that season, basically.
There's just some really nice choreographed, and just it looks really clean, and there's a lot of movement in it that doesn't really happen in a lot of shows of this like ilk. Like, they really went all out and like went the extra mile, like rotated characters like dynamically in a lot of ways, and added really nice effects to it, and it's just very nice to look at.
But yeah, on the surface of it, like a very high-level description. It's basically like it's about like an alternate reality, like a pocket universe that has like witches and magic
and monsters.
Nonsense. Yeah, and it wears its like wears a lot of its references like really like readily available on its sleeve in a way that I like that I kind of really appreciate because there's a lot of like knowing Harry Potter stuff in there in a world where I'm like less enthused than ever to engage in Harry Potter shit for J.K. Rowling reasons.
Oh. But it is different, and there are some really funny asides that kind of take jabs at it.
Yeah, right. They do. They do awesome gags with that stuff. That is like good for you guys. Mm-hmm. Good for making fun of this thing. That like it toes the line really well between like taking the narrative seriously enough that you give a shit about it, but also like having fun with shit because it's like an animated series for children. Mm-hmm. Like I really like it when
you need some serotonin. Check that show out for sure.
Yeah. I actually just started watching it a few days ago. I'm nice. 3 episodes in.
Yeah, it's cool.
That's good so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, it's nothing like, it's just really well made. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that's like, I just.
And like, it is, I mean, it's by someone who worked on Dana, I can't think
something
of her
last name.
Yeah, I don't remember her name.
She worked on, she was on Gravity Falls for a while.
Makes sense.
And like that show, like there's more under the surface. There's a lot more under the surface than is just right up front. And it goes some places.
You can see a lot of that, even in the amount of watch. Even putting aside that Alex Hirsch does a very noticeable voice, or
two voices actually, one that's a little more hidden.
But yeah, it's good, and I really like the performances. Like, I think the main cast is really solid, including that Alex Hirsch role. Even though he's, like you said, he's still basically doing like the voice from
it's the Bill voice.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He's doing Bill, but in like a different, like the characterization's slightly different, but the voice is identical.
Yeah, yeah. Different stresses and effects on it, but it's the same voice.
Which is kind of weird because I don't know what his range is, but you know, he can at least do a Bill and he can do a Grunkle
Stan. Right?
He does so Seuss too, if I'm not mistaken.
There he can pull out.
Funny. Is that true?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
No, you told me that, because that was on one of the other recordings he did. Yeah. It was dunking on Giuliani's stupid voting thing.
Okay.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, he's got talent.
Yeah.
But yeah, that show is just, like Lorraine said, it's just a lot of fun. And there are, like, once you get to them, like I said, there are, like, those two animated sequences.
They're late in the show.
Like, I'm just surprised. Like, I was taken aback by how good they were.
There's parts of me that want to just rewatch those episodes for those sequences, because they are very well done.
Yeah, it was the opposite of, like, going back and watching, like, the X-Men cartoon from the 90s and being like, oh, man, this all looks like garbage. Like, my memories were wrong.
Yeah, that's the contrast between like that and the Batman show, which were contemporary at the time. Like, I liked them both a lot at the time, and I still do, but the animation in that X-Men one.
Yeah, it's not so good. It's, you know,
the Batman one held up pretty
good.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And it's weird that they're so different, honestly. They just like, Warner Brothers mostly just put up more money at the time.
A ridiculous amount of effort put into the animating and a huge budget.
Right, yeah.
That show's real good.
X-Men was just crapped out by Fox Kids or whatever.
Right. But yeah, Owl House, highly recommend it.
Yeah.
And then the other thing.
Season 2 just started.
Is that true?
Yeah, just like a couple days ago.
Nice. All right, I knew that was probably coming soon, which is why the first season had been on Disney Plus.
And then the other thing that we just finished watching before we came in here was the Queen's Gambit. which was a thing that like, I saw it in the Netflix queue and I was just like, yeah, that looks fine, whatever. And I didn't really pay it any mind. And then I saw people online saying, like, oh, this is pretty good. Like, just generally, it just got praise over time. And I was like, all right, it's only, again, it's the opposite of those Star Wars animated series problems.
Seven episodes?
This is 7 episodes. Like, I will start watching this. And, you know, if I actually hate it, I'll turn it off. Mm-hmm. But it will not be a chore to sit through just in terms of total hours or whatever if I want to finish it.
I've heard a lot about it, but I haven't checked it out.
I think it's really good.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. Right. It really exceeded my, the last two episodes, it exceeded my expectations in a way that, like it really built to be way better than I expected it to be by the time it wraps up.
Yeah. Because, I'm not the biggest fan of, dramas, of that kind of tone.
When
like,
it's super...
It starts off... It was really rough for me to get through some of those first episodes. I was not enjoying it that much. But it did, once it found its feet, so to speak, it really started, I got invested, and, those last two episodes, the ones that we watched today, were really good.
Uh-huh. And, there's two parts to this. The one part is, Lorraine, I totally get where you're coming from, where, when you see a show like that, where they show characters going through certain amounts of hardship, and you wonder, what level
Yeah.
Like, they're going to keep kicking you in the teeth, like, every, like, is this just going to keep getting more agonizing as the episodes go on or whatever? Yeah,
because it was just, like, it was just a low and a low and a low. Like, you're falling down the stairs, essentially, for the first few episodes. Yeah. And it's just, like...
But as they, like, build out to finish it, it doesn't really do that.
No, like, it was surprising. Like, it ended on a really positive note, and, like I had mentioned to you, like, I was surprised at the relationships, just in general, that spanned out from it. Like, I had, like, after those first few, you're kind of, like... This is going to be one of those experiences, like you. And but the fact that it ended so positively in so many ways after getting so low and like even roller coastering a little bit, like it was a pleasant surprise, and I really did enjoy it at the end.
And then outside of that, like general, like you know, watching like dramas that take themselves seriously or whatever. The other thing is, it's really just a sports movie, like
it
spread
is.
Across,
no, it absolutely
like
is.
Like it is Rocky with chess playing, like it is. But it is that narrative of like you know. Here's a person who's really good at a thing, and like we're going to contrast their advancement through this thing with like their personal hardships throughout the past and present of their life. I kind of dig that. I don't know. I'm sort of a sucker for like even just like moderately competent sports movies. Like it's just a fun like basic narrative to like it's fun to watch people be good at things and like triumph over adversity or whatever. It's but that part of it is like is fun and good. And then the third part that
there's a third part.
That just like hit me personally. It was just like, God damn. Oh, what I wouldn't give to just like go into a room with a bunch of weirdos and just sit at a table and play a weird thing with them. Yeah. Like, when they get to the episode where she's in her first chess tournament and like she leaves her first match and puts the shit or puts the slip in like the match slip bin.
Yeah.
I'm like, God damn.
I wish that were me.
Right. I wish it was me.
I'd give anything to play in a Panini's tournament.
Yeah, a 10,000,000%. Like, so that's like that part of it just struck me like personally, like deeply to my core. I was like, oh Christ, what I wouldn't give to play a weird game with strangers in like a dimly lit room somewhere.
Ah, the sweet smells, how I've missed you.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, obviously those carnal memories aren't as ingrained in me as they are in you, but I did get that feeling as well.
Okay.
Right, you at least know what we're talking
about. Just all of that walk of her to the like the turn-in tables with her slip.
Smugly, like she finished first and she fucking blew it out and she's just like, bam, there's my winning slip.
All right, I got a good feeling.
So yeah, there's like those are those kind of feels for me. And like separately from that, kind of like what Lorraine said, like the dynamic she builds with the characters like throughout her chess career, like they ring both solidly for me in a like general, like I just think it's a well-written show.
Yeah, the characters are really good.
But then separately from that, it's like I just see like my con friends in there. I'm like, oh yeah, you know, just like that those people you build up that like you go to events and you see them over time.
Because it was like one of the first people that she meets and they pop up again and again and she's like actively excited to see them and they just like hang out and they're just having a good time like out of the chess like bubble and it was just really sweet and I'm just like, remember when we went places and saw people for like a week at a time?
Yeah, right. Remember when you had acquaintances? Yeah. Like when you had people that like, you know them and you like them, but you don't like, you know, you don't speak to them weekly or whatever. Like, yeah. So all that stuff put together, I would highly recommend it. And like Lorraine said, I think it's only 7 episodes long and they're like roughly an hour each.
Yeah, like 42 an hour. Like, so the lengths do vary.
Basically the Mandalorian season, like pretty similar to it lengthwise. But yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. For all of those reasons, I really dug it by the end. Like I said, I really think it came together in those last 2 or 3 episodes.
Yeah,
in a way that I appreciated a ton. But yeah, I think that's actually about it. So unless anyone else has got anything else they want to throw out there for like you know viewing recommendations or whatever, feel free. But
I'm still enjoying the Golden Compass or His Dark Materials.
I committed some voter fraud.
I knew it.
Took some ballots. Put them in a sack.
That's all. That's all I wanted.
Thank you. His Dark Materials is still good. Second season is just about to end. It's got this week's and next week's episodes will be the end of season 2. But obviously, your mileage may vary. I recently read the entire series, which has given me more context for it, but it is following it pretty closely, so you don't necessarily need the source material, and I think in some parts it does it better, just because those books are so old and the pacing is really weird in some places.
I do think that show has gotten better season over season. Mm-hmm. Like, that first season felt like it really was dragging its ass by the end of it.
That's
for
what
me.
The book does too, though. Like, that one was a little more in line with the book, whereas this season two, because they front-loaded some of the character development and introductions, like, basically the part where it picks up in the series in the book is where it's picking up in the show. So it's still like kind of tonally on it, but it's a high quality show, like production wise and everything. Like, the performances are really good as well, especially for child actors. Like,
mm-hmm.
they play their parts well. And sometimes you just need some fantasy. Sometimes you just need some plucky fantasy that maybe has darker anti-religious-y undertones. Good times.
I'm under the impression Wade has enjoyed it so far. Mm-hmm. But I haven't really
I know you two
talked about it a lot.
The bits and pieces that I have discussed with him, he seems to be really jonesing with it too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm liking it.
WandaVision's finally coming out. That should be fun.
Hooray.
When is it actually coming out?
January 12th or something.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Also, there's 5 other Marvel shows next year.
Great. All
right. No shortage of those either, so we'll see how it goes.
They'll stagger just right. All right, the Star Wars are done. Get a Marvel show in. Marvel's done. Get Star Wars back in there. Let's trade off.
You'll never not need to be subscribed to Disney Plus.
A lot of those Marvel shows are going to tie into movies.
Right. Yeah, movies that aren't coming out.
About that. You want to get all the details, you got to watch all these shows.
Great.
Yep.
So it's going to be like Kingdom Hearts, where every game is canon. I love it.
Okay.
These won't just be canon. They will like heavily inform the direction of the universe at times.
Good. I mean,
they've gotten away from that weird TV split.
Same with the Kingdom Hearts. You got to play the card game on the GBA to understand what's happening in Kingdom Hearts 2.
I wish I didn't believe you.
You want to talk about a series with callbacks? It's motherfucking Kingdom Hearts. Right. It's a web of fucking nonsense, but it's wonderful. Wonderfully stupid.
Mm. Like Star Wars?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. There is a guy who uses lightsabers in Kingdom Hearts.
For their weird fandoms or things that they really like for any reason, because I know I'm just as bad as my own ways.
Uh-huh.
Let everyone
really
nerd
like
in
My
their
Little
corner.
Pony, great. Good for you, man.
Friendship is magic.
Enjoy things. Is this right? Mm-hmm. A good motto.
Agreed. Yeah, I can totally endorse that statement for sure.
Woo.
But yeah, I think
that's One Piece.
I think that's about it.
There's no filler in that, so
wrong. You can't like them. You're wrong for like.
But there's no filler, so it's fine.
No, 900 episodes of canon.
Yeah. That's because they're pirates.
All right, we can actually close out on this because I was thinking about this the other day, like literally this exact thing.
Great.
I was like, why is One Piece the way it is? And the only thing I could come up
with.
Man,
you
get
weird headspace when I'm at work, dude.
Well, this is what like these are my shower thoughts. Like I go do the dishes, like my mind always wanders towards something stupid.
One Piece.
Oh. But I was like, why on earth would people still be invested in this shit after? And the only thing I could come up with is that it must just be the exact same. Like, they're not even treating it like any traditional like narrative driven, like even shonen series and stuff like that. Like, they must be full on in like Days of Our Lives, like soap opera territory, where it's just like, all right, the only thing I know about this is that it comforts me that there's going to be another episode of it every week. And, like, what's happening now? Who cares? Like, is this the 12th time that, like, you know, somebody has been killed by their ex-boyfriend and then, but no, it was their twin brother or whatever? Like,
none of it
matters. The only thing that matters to me is that there is more of it on a schedule and that, like, that's, like, my security blanket of television. Just, like, it realigns me in, like, my place in the universe. Yeah.
Center's my key.
Hey, man, the Simpsons are still on.
Right. Mm-hmm. But like outside of that, I'm sure they exist, but like I can give no quarter to the people who are like, yeah, man, the narrative's really going places. Like, I can't wait to till it all pays off.
They announced they're gonna end it, so with that.
Destiny's 10-year plan.
You got it. Yeah, what a thing.
TV's cool.
Sometimes.
Can be.
Well, yeah. Got curated a little.
Yeah, right. But and again, you know, if you have memorized every episode of One Piece, you know, God
who
bless.
Hurt you?
Who hurt you?
If I can say 682 and you can tell me what happened like in that 20 minutes, then like, my God.
You're being wasted. Go do something else. Save the world.
There are articles about you in psychology manuals.
That's right.
I read about you in my Psych 101. You're the One Piece guy, aren't you?
Uh-huh. All right. I don't want to belabor this in any way, but the thing I'm watching right now that anyone who's listening
hasn't watched
is The Good Place.
Yes.
I have seen it before.
Always. Everyone should watch The Good Place.
Go watch it.
It's great.
I do need to rewatch it.
Yeah. I just saw an ad.
The first season.
Ted Danson's in another show on NBC now.
Phil's watched it all the way through. You're just watching it again, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because he finished it roughly after we got back from that trip.
Yeah, because the series finale was like the week before.
Yeah, right. That was actually ending like close to that time or two. But
God,
Brian, how much of it have you watched, if any?
Just a little over the first season.
Nice.
Okay. I would keep watching. That would be my recommendation.
Yeah.
It's a great show.
But yeah,
that show just gets better and better.
It really does.
Yeah, it does. But unlike a lot of shows that say that, it's never not good.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still like a super finite amount of it. I'm glad that it doesn't have 10 seasons where a bunch of them are kind of like hodgepodge. Like,
because I was really worried about that. Like as it was coming out, I'm like, well, where are they going to go? Are they just going to drag this on? Is this just going to be like a thing that stumbles across the end like 20 years from now? But no, it ended.
Mm-hmm.
Delightfully.
Yes. Good show. Fantastic.
Wonder what Jason Schur, Michael Schur. I wonder what he's doing now.
I'm sure he's workshopping something. Find
Perhaps.
Out on the other outside of COVID, maybe. God willing.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, good call out, Phil. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And yeah, Brian, honestly, if we want to talk about The Good Place, you know, we'll wait till Brian finishes it up and then maybe maybe we'll give it a rewatch and then
That'll probably be a while.
Well, that's fine.
We're patient.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, highly recommend.
Yes.
Definitely keep watching. And yeah, other than that, I think we will call it a show. But thank you, Lorraine.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kyle, Phil, Brian, for hanging out with us.
And indulging our weeby opinions.
Right. And until next time, which may be in the new year. It wouldn't surprise me.
We got to be on top of our game if we're doing another podcast next week.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't know that will happen. But,
dun, dun, dun.
But in any case, you know, stay safe out there.
Yes,
try to stay sane.
Wear your mask.
Fingers crossed things will get better in 2021. I can't imagine they could get much worse.
God, I hope they can.
A couple of good things to look forward to next year.
I hope so.
So yeah, keep on keeping on. And until then, we'll see you next time, Internet.
Bye.
Bye, Internet.